MP on the mic Tuesday morning. What's up, Richmond? 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Victory week continues. You think I'm done with the Hail Mary? We're not done with the Hail Mary. What a play. Still talking about it. I love the fans fighting over who Tyreek Stevenson was yapping at. That's good radio there from the Junkies. And love that Brian Robinson's their new guest. I want to say this like in a way that doesn't throw any shade on John Allen. That's an upgrade. Not even in terms of like football production, but just he's a cool dude. He's a good guy. We argued about fried chicken in the locker room one day for like 15 minutes, and I was like, you got to go somewhere. He's like, nah, like you
got.
I got to stand up for Bojangles. Like, all right, bud, let's go. All right, let's go.
Like that.
He had thoughts on all Popeyes, Bojangles, the works. Yeah, he had lots of fried chicken. He grew up in Alabama. Yeah, man's got thoughts.
Tuscaloosa.
That's deep Alabama right mm-hmm. there. You're not getting more Alabama than Tuscaloosa. That's very Alabama. Good to be back in studio. Been a minute here. We had our three producer in 3 days run. Hazel's back, so welcome back. Congrats on the success of podcast day over there at VCU.
Love a podcast.
Absolutely. We have a podcast. It's MP on the mic. You search for it on all major podcast platforms. A lot to get to today. We will make time for baseball for maybe the last time in a preview capacity. 3-0 Dodgers up there against the Yankees. Everybody's blowing up my phone. He's just, man, I wish Vinny Pasquantino was in this World Series. He'd be giving them a better game than these Yankees do. I said, please stop calling me at all hours to tell me that. But you're right. It's so true. Look, I know a lot of people dislike both teams. But I dislike one team a lot more than the other team. So this is a quality result for your guy MP. On the heels of a quality result Sunday in Landover, Maryland, which we devoted the whole show to the Hail Mary yesterday and some great interviews and loved hearing from everybody in the locker room. We'll just devote large portions of the show to the Hail Mary today. We're going to scale back. Don't worry, though. We'll get to it. We'll get to college football as well. Want to run back some of the Hokies game on Sunday, which I think was, a grinded out game, a nice win for them where the offense wasn't clicking, but they created things. And that's what I thought we'd get from the start of the year. And I don't know why we didn't get that at the start of the year. But we've got it now. And big game Saturday against Syracuse. We'll get you ready for that all week, of course, because if they win that, prime time in Blacksburg next week against Clemson, those are the games you love if you're a Virginia Tech fan. But you got to win this one to get to that one. And it's not a given at all going on the road up there to the Dome to play Syracuse. We'll get you ready for that. Play the clips from this week. JMU is bowl eligible. We'll give them their shout out. Of course, at 11 o'clock on Tuesdays, we do the Commanders game rewind, so we will do the Commanders game rewind. We've got some clips to play, some ones you expect, maybe some ones you don't. Break down the entirety of the game, and of course, we'll play the last play as well. Now, I wasn't in here yesterday. I thought the Spanish call was my favorite of all the calls. You know I'm a sucker for that.
It was really good.
But it was really good. It's one of the few times. Like, you've got London Fletcher. He likes to yell and he likes to laugh. Like, it's one of the few times it was an appropriate call. Like, London Fletcher was born to do that call of that Hail Mary situation. I thought Jim Nantz did well. I thought he was caught off guard by it. He's usually got his quip ready to go, and you could tell they're going crazy in Landover. It's a miracle right out. Because he's a pro. He's really good. And then Tony Romo doing his Tony Romo. They did it, Jim. They did it. Yeah. Yeah, they did. I give it like an 8 out of 10. It was a really good call on TV in the moment. He wasn't ready with the one-liner that would have made it like the call, do you believe in miracles? Like, he wasn't ready with that, but I don't know why he would have been ready with that. It wasn't supposed to happen.
He's been watching the Commanders the last 20 years.
He's been watching the Commanders. It wasn't on his bingo card for the day. That's it was nobody saw that coming. before it happened. And some people will tell you, like, oh, yeah, we, you know, with Jaden Daniels. No, like, nobody saw that cut, that, which made it a lot of fun when it did happen. Other NFL news last night. Let's start with clip 7 here, because did Russell Wilson get good? I think Russell Wilson might have got good at football.
Giants bringing pressure. Wilson lofting. Wilson has a man out there. Wilson has the touchdown. It's a second touchdown for Calvin Austin.
Yeah, he was dealing last night. It was a very impressive showing for Russ. Mike Tomlin doing his victory lap, right? He made the call. He put it all out there. He made the call, and it's paying off. Steelers look really good right now. Them and the Ravens losing to Jameis Winston. You add those things together, Steelers may be back in the driver's seat. They're going to play some fun games against Baltimore later this season. The Giants, on the other hand, the New York Giants. So it's hard to be an NFL coach because you got to own everything. I think the definitive play from the game here that people are mad at Brian Daboll over was the two-point attempt when you're down 8. Let's hear from him first, and then it brings me no pleasure to do this, but I am going to defend Brian Daboll.
Ryan, what happened on the 2-point conversion? It seemed like the timing was all messed up.
Yeah, motor was. So we've been working on that for a while. Motor was actually checking with the official to make sure that he was on a line of scrimmage, and Daniel saw the look that we needed to get to. Where we were just going to throw the ball out there to Malik. We had a bunch of blockers. But he was talking to the official when Daniel snapped it and threw it out there. And, you know, they only had 2 guys out there, and the guy blew by him.
Not sure what's going on with the static storm there. Yeah, so first off, when you're down 14, and it's 2 touchdowns and 2 extra points, and you score a touchdown late in the game, the correct move, and I know you're going to yell at me for this, the correct move mathematically is to go for 2. I'll play this out for you because I've explained this to a million people over the years. And then at the end of the explanation, they give me a glazed over look that says, you're crazy. I'm going to explain this one more time slowly. You have a 50% chance of getting a 2-point conversion. So you start there. Half you get it, half you don't get it. I think everybody's still with me here. That's the NFL percentage. It's remained steady over the last 2 decades. You're down 14. You score. If you get the 2-point conversion, 50% chance, you are in the driver's seat to win the game. Your next touchdown, you kick an extra point. You've scored 15. You needed 14 to tie. You are the winner of the football game. So there's a 50% chance that you win the football game. If you miss the 2-point conversion, then the next time you can try a 2-point conversion again to make up for it and get back to the tie. Now, there's a 50% chance that you'll get that, right? So in 25% of situations, you will lose the game. But in 75% of situations, you will not lose the game. And 50% of situations, you'll win the game. Now, if you just kick your 2 extra points and go to overtime, overtime's a coin flip. Now, there are no guarantees you're going to win the game. Or you keep playing because you can go to overtime. You got momentum. Nobody has momentum in overtime. Overtime's a fresh game. You might win, you might lose. It's the right move to go for the 2. Get your information as quickly as you can. Because if you don't get that information, you're just treading water. And you don't want to tread water. You want to win football games. That's the goal of winning a football game. Secondly, Brian Daboll, or whoever drew up the play, drew up a masterpiece of a play where there were 5 Giants players in charge of blocking 3 Pittsburgh Steelers players. So you've got the ball carrier, and he's got 5 blockers in front of him, and there are 3 Steelers defenders. It's good coaching. Did they get it? No, because the Steelers defenders blew right by the blockers. That's a talent issue at that point. That's not a scheming issue. It's not a coaching issue. Some weird coaching moments, because you also had Mike Tomlin throw the challenge flag when he wasn't allowed to. and it cost him a timeout. But it was the weird, like, instant replay, the booth review. I still don't think everybody knows entirely what to do with that. I don't think they know what to do with that on their end. Like, do they need to be 100% sure? Can they be 95% sure? If they're 95% sure, shouldn't you let him throw the challenge flag so you can go to the video and get to 100%? I don't know. The right call was made in the end, and Russell Wilson's good at football. Oh, and T.J. Watt sealed this thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Towel swirling in Akershire. Snap back to Jones, looking, and has the ball
batted away.
T.J. Watt! And recovered by T.J. Watt. Strip sack, recovery, Steelers ball. Tremendous turn of events late in the fourth quarter at Akershire Stadium.
He's so good. Just a reminder, he didn't go in the top 10 of the draft. He went in the 20s. Get out of town with that. What was everybody thinking? It was J.J. Watt's brother, and now he's really good at football. Come on now. Don't overthink this, people. T.J. Watt, defensive player of the year so far. He's just freakishly good. The Steelers' defense is Super Bowl good. And by the way, Russell Wilson is good at football. He was slinging it. He was putting it where he needed to. I don't know how long this will last. What I know of Russ is, Richmond native, Russell Wilson, right? So we know a thing or two here. I chatted with Russ long time before he became famous. What I know of Russ is he's going to do something aggressive that will cost his team the game in the next few weeks. There will be a game where he tries to force a ball that's not there and they lose because of it. How they react from that is the Russell Wilson story, right? If they all turn on him, it's like, this isn't going to work. If they're like, we noticed that thing where you won the other games for us, we'll ride with you. That's when you got it. The Seahawks put up with it. They put up with it because they knew he could get them where they wanted to go, to the Super Bowl, and he still can. And I think he's got... I was second-guessing myself because... Spring, summer, I love the Steelers. We got a million clips from this show. Me saying, I think the Steelers are Super Bowl good. And then Tomlin soured on Russ, and then, you know, the wheels kind of came off there. They're back on and just in time for a team that is rolling right now through the competition and comes to Landover in a couple weeks as well. In 2 weeks, we'll enjoy seeing them at the stadium formerly known as FedEx Field for what should be a pretty big football game if these records are any indication. We're off and running. It's a Tuesday. I want to get to Virginia Tech football. We'll check in with the Hokies on the other side of this. Of course, we'll hear from Tyreek Stevenson as well. Lots to get to today. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1.
The Fan
105.1 FM. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday morning Commanders Game Rewind. At 11, we'll play the highlights from the game. There were many. There were some moments where the Bears got the better of them, too. We'll play those. It's a comprehensive breakdown, folks. We don't pull any punches around here. We'll get to baseball as well. We'll do that maybe in our next segment. I'm excited to get to baseball. Y'all know I like baseball. Everybody's going to see this as a letdown of a World Series. I understand why, because it's 3-0 right out of the gate. I don't see it that way at all. I think it's been a ton of fun. We'll dive into that, of course. But right now, I feel like if anybody got shafted yesterday, it was the Hokies. We could not talk about the Hail Mary for 2 hours. But the Hokies had a nice win against Georgia Tech as well. JMU won as they were expected to. I don't know that that was anything resembling a signature win. They're bowl eligible. Congrats to the Dukes. And our guy Bob Chesney. Congrats to Kurt Cignetti, former Dukes coach, who has Indiana football steamrolling people. They're undefeated in Bloomington. UVA, I went up to the game, took the gang, bought the $7 snow cone, did the things, and that one didn't go very well for the Cavs. Tony Elliott started his post-game press conference by apologizing. That's when you know it didn't go well. So we'll dive into the Hoos. They're on a bye this week, so we got time to get to the Hoos. They won't lose this week is the good news. The bad news is their schedule down the stretch is loaded. They are playing four games. They will be significant underdogs in all four of their remaining games. But Virginia Tech, Look, this was all about the defense. Defense came to play, and let's get the party started here on the highlight reel with two sacks in one drive. That's pretty good.
Quarterback draw, Pyron up the middle. This time gets knocked down after a pickup of a half a yard on the play by Penei. Two in a row for the French Nightmare.
The French Nightmare. Let's go. I love it. Great call there in Blacksburg, as always, of course. And it was a game where the defense needed to give, needed to survive on every possession. They found a way to do that. They played very well. Let's get to the touchdowns first, because the offense was rolling early and then kind of hung on for dear life. Here's Gosnell's touchdown catch for the Hokies to put them on the board.
Hokies in the Toyota red zone for the first time today on the Georgia Tech 20, trailing 3-0. Hokies go empty now. Drone's the only man in the backfield. Quick throw over the middle, wide open, Gosnell at the 5, and he'll take it into the end zone. Touchdown Tech, 20-yard touchdown pass from Kyron Drone.
There you go, Benji Gosnell catching that one in the end zone, and no, that was that was the second Gosnell. That was not Steven. That was Benji on that one with the 20-yard touchdown catch, and then Drones again, this time as a receiver. Let's mix it up a little bit for Kyron Drones.
Snap comes back. Drones flips it to Tootin. On a reverse. Whoa. Lane has it. Throws to the end zone. Touchdown, Tech. That time, Drones catches the touchdown pass from Jalen Lane. How about that from Tyler Bowen's bag of tricks?
Ah, the old bag of tricks. Ah, I love it. Absolutely. That's Tyler Bowen. And that's the theme of this game here as we dive into the Hokies win over Georgia Tech here. Tyler Bowen, I felt, had not been as creative early in the season, hadn't opened up the offense like he did last year. And now you're 2 years now where he, as the season goes on, he gets more comfortable, he opens it up more, he does more. It's a little different from what you're used to seeing, which is offenses throw a lot of new innovative stuff right at you out of the gate, and then defenses catch up over the course of the year. This is a team that's really, starting with the Miami game, been peaking offensively in terms of what they can do. Of course, there are certain things that don't change. One of them is Bashaul Tootin. When he runs, people notice.
From the 25, first down handoff goes to Tootin. Right side run, 35-40, breaks a tackle. Down the sideline at the 50, cuts back at the 40. And vintage Bashaul Tootin, the tugboat, turns into a speedboat down the right sideline. And a 41-yard run for Tootin.
Yeah, that's how you win these football games, right? Good creative offense. When things are going stagnant, you make things happen, and then getting that, keep knocking on that door until you get that tough run out of Bashaul Tootin. That one set up the touchdown catch by Kyron Drones. Drones put in one more, and that was all she wrote. That was all they needed for the Hokies.
First and goal on the one. Drones slaps his hands, rolls to his right, and he casually waltzes in for the score. Touchdown, Tech. 1 yard run for Drones.
That was in the third quarter, and the offense kind of shut it down after that largely. And they did what they needed to do. They got the margin they needed to get. But it was a fight the rest of the way. It was a rock fight, and it was this was a defensive struggle, and the defense stepped up, made the plays that we've been hoping they would make, shut down the Georgia Tech run game, and then added the big plays in the pass game. Here is the first of those two big plays that sealed victory late.
Slap of the hands, handoff inside. Ooh. Jenkins is there to knock down Haynes. It's another defensive stand by Tech. This time it was Jenkins introducing Jamal Haynes to the grass at Lane Stadium.
Ah, grass meet quarterback. Love it. This is the game sealer. Here's the interception. Here's Virginia Tech salting this one away.
Fourth and 10 for Georgia Tech. Philo to throw. Lets it go. Intercepted by Jones on the 15. Runs it back. Gets to the 30 and slides down on the 38. It was intended for Rutherford. He had a hand on it, and it caromed to Jalen Jones. The second turnover The interception by Jones, and the Hokies have it with a minute 40 to go.
Yeah, you're not going to see me complain about a 15-point win, taking care of business, setting up the game this weekend, if they're in Syracuse, noon kick, and play's going to be pretty dead. It's a lifeless game. These are the games you have to win if you want to be a contender, right? You take care of business against Georgia Tech, shut them down. Take care of Syracuse. You're better than them, more talented than them. These are the games that matter. Nooner this week against Syracuse. If they win, they're hosting Clemson. And I a long time ago, I said that game would be for a spot in the ACC title game. That was before SMU started doing their weird SMU thing. They might be in it. Pitt might still be in it. That Pitt-SMU game, one a lot of people are going to be keeping an eye on this weekend. But I do believe Hokies have a path there. If they can knock off Clemson, it would situate them well in the tiebreaker thing, and just makes it all the more heartbreaking that they couldn't beat Miami on that last play when the refs decided to do the replay for 6 minutes. And I'm not over that, but that's one that's going to hang with them, especially if they can get to the big game against Clemson and hang with the Tigers, which I think this team is talented enough to do that. Week in, week out, things change. You just don't know which Tech team's going to show up, but we've seen a lot more consistency over the past few weeks. You know, going back to that Miami game, this is a team that's given a consistent, solid four-quarter effort, found a way to win in a lot of different styles. Boston College comes back, and they have to rally late. And Georgia Tech has that great run offense. They shut it down for four quarters. Said, offense, take the day off. We got this as a defense. And now they go into the heart of the schedule down the stretch. It was a weird way to get there, but everything they want still in front of them as they get ready for big games against Syracuse and hopefully Clemson here in back-to-back weeks. This is one of the times when we have to say we have to make time for baseball. We have to do it because baseball might end for the season tonight. I know baseball never ends, but it may actually end tonight. We'll get you caught up to speed on the World Series. We'll hear from Tyreek Stevenson. We will do it all on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Tuesday morning, we have a lot to talk about in the world of football. Still wrapping up the Hail Mary. You'll hear from Tyreek Stevenson in the second hour of this radio program. You'll hear Commanders Game Rewind. We need to pause for a second, though, which is a thing this show does from time to time, because if nobody else wants to talk about baseball, I will talk about baseball. This is the baseball update, perhaps one last time.
Over the shoulder, end zone, touchdown!
We interrupt this program to get baseball at its best.
First pitch pops it up right side of the infield, back into shallow right field. Makes the catch. One pitch, one out to start the ninth.
Baseball stuff!
Oh, man, we got such a good World Series. Yankees, Dodgers, all the stars. Then Ohtani gets hurt in Game 2. Then the Yankees don't show up to play at all. A lot of not ideal things happened along the way. Dodgers have played great, though. That team's loaded. They're going to be deserving champs, whether it's tonight or down the line. We don't have... In hockey, they have something called the gentleman's sweep. So if the team's down 3-0 and they're at home, the other team kind of lets them win so that they can go win at home in Game 5. But in baseball, they play 3 in a row in New York. So you'd have to wait until Game 6. That's too long to wait to send it back to L.A. So they'll just take care of it in the Bronx, presumably. Fox has done a great job. I don't know if you've been watching the World Series. You probably haven't unless you live in Japan. I don't know if you saw the Japanese viewership numbers. 15 million people. The Japanese audience is bigger than the American audience for the World Series. Good on them. It's a true World Series. We make fun of world champions. Like, well, whole world's watching. There you go. Or two countries in the world are watching. Probably some Caribbean countries, too. There's some Caribbean countries that get into baseball. Fox has done a great job with it, though. Here was their Game 1 opener. They got all the stars for this. Here's Morgan Freeman introducing Game 1.
Tonight, we're not going to have the argument for argument's sake.
We're not going to debate East versus West, Yin versus Yang, mine versus yours, in circles just to end up back where we started. Because it would be a waste of your time to steer this ship anywhere other than the heart of this story. This very material, very tangible story. With all due respect to the journey, this spectacle is absolutely about the destination.
Okay, I don't think they actually had a script for him. They're, all right, we'll get Morgan Freeman to read something, and it'll be cool. All right, what do we want him to read? I don't know, just make something up, you know? Just tell him to say some words. It'll sound good. It's Morgan Freeman. We're good here. We got this, right? Yeah, we don't need a script. We're good. It's with respect to the destination. It's the journey. Yeah, that's perfect. Roll with that. We're good. We're good. Game two, we're going to have even more star power. They open up the bullpen door. Ice Cube comes running out, remixes his own song for the World Series.
I got a beat from Kim, and she can hang all night. Called up the homies, and I'm asking y'all, which part are y'all playing baseball? Hit me on the field, and I'm trouble. Last week, messed around, and I hit a double. Freaking Yankees every way, like Kobe. I can't believe today was a good day.
No, nobody cares more about us caring about baseball than the Fox Network does this week. Morgan Freeman and Ice Cube back-to-back? That's a World Series right there. Are you kidding me? We are showcasing our finest to the world. Truly introducing them to the best of American culture. I guess Snoop Dogg wasn't available. He's booked to the Olympics. They've got an exclusive deal there. Had to settle for Ice Cube. That's good remix, though. As those go, he turned that into something. I like it. World Series started with a big time bang. We haven't played this since we haven't been on since it happened. But you walk off the World Series game one with a grand slam. I think we should play it.
The scenario you dream about, Freddie is living. First pitch swinging, high fly ball, hit deep, back and gone. Channeling his inner Kirk Gibson, a walk-off home run in game one of the World Series, a walk-off grand slam. They celebrate at the plate. Winners 6-3.
You can say you don't like the series. You can say you don't like the celebrities, the teams. You don't like that it's a sweep. You can't deny it's been very, very good between the lines, though. That's about as good of an ending as you're going to get to a baseball game. Yesterday's game, this is not the finest baseball has to offer. The Yankees, they need to make something happen. They really need to make something happen. Giancarlo Stanton, he's on second base. You got to get him home. You got to score the run. You got to wave him in. And then apparently the dirt turned into quicksand. I don't know what happened here.
It's 2-2. Volpe to left field. That's going to drop for a base hit. Stanton being waved around. Here's the throw in from Teoscar. The play at the play. Got him! An absolute hose from Hernandez in left. And Stanton nailed down at the plate.
All right, that's a homer call from the Dodgers. It was a fine throw. Stanton started running like he's an NFL offensive lineman who just finished at the buffet. Like, come on. What was going on there? What has happened to the New York Yankees? I thought they were good. I thought y'all were a good baseball team. You'd steamroll through everybody. Aaron Judge forgets how to hit. Man. All right, so if there's a real positive here, other than this has been a fun World Series and the Yankees are losing, we haven't had to hear that the Yankees win. We do need to hear from John Sterling, though. John really wants Aaron Judge to get out of this slump. He wants it so bad, and sometimes you just got to manifest it.
And the breaking ball, there it goes! Deep left center field, and Teoscar is there to make the catch. Oh, did I get fooled on that?
Oh, sometimes you just want it. Your heart wants it more than your head sees it. It was not particularly close to a home run, and Teoscar Hernandez didn't have to go running or leaping or any of those things to make the catch. Yankees have been bad through three games. Aaron Judge has been struggling. It's a World Series appearance in probably one of the most hyped, most anticipated World Series in a long time. I don't think that's going to be much comfort to Yankees fans. They like winning. They prefer winning, and they have not been winning. So that's the World Series update. Game four tonight could be over as soon as the ninth inning tonight. If the Dodgers win, they'll head home with a 4-0 series sweep World Series win. Otherwise, the numbers don't lie. It's hard to come back from 3-0. Yankees had it done to them once very famously. But aside from that, not a lot suggesting this Yankees team is going to be putting it together. And Ohtani was back in the game last night. So got all the stars, got all the players assembled. Life's good there for the Dodgers and the Yankees. All right, we'll step aside. On the other side, I'm going to play my conversation with Craig Hoffman yesterday because we're still talking about the Hail Mary. It's what we do. Commanders game rewinds coming, and as promised, we'll hear from Tyreek Stevenson. Lots going on. It's all happening right here. 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.